Welcome to Pink Kink,
where we talk about the pretty, twisted side of kink.
I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
Whether you are a new kinkster or have years of experience, Pink Kink will help you level up your kink knowledge.
Join us on this journey as we talk about our personal experiences and use the knowledge we've gained over 28 years of being involved in both private and professional aspects of this lifestyle to help you explore every facet of kink.
Get set for an adventure. Not only will you learn and grow, but we promise loads of laughter, turning each episode into a fun party. So fasten your seatbelt and let's get this show started. Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. Patrons also get discounts at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique, and our online classes at Pink Kink Institute.
In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com.
Today's episode is produced by our electrifying Pink Kinksters. Thank you, Jay, Witcherman, Brianna Lynn, Daddy Jay, Fabe, Embers, Blossom, William P., Claire, Lady Blooding, Naughty and Nice, Butte Pain, Manda Panda, Cat, Stefan, Shadow Phoenix, Voldy, Christopher, Kilted Sir, Brian, May Cry Devil, Ruby Riot, Mistress Velma, Enchanted Sparrow, The Wombat, Impact Hazard, Twitch, The Midnight Girl, Sinful, J21, Daisy If You Do, AK Harley Chick, Violet Rain,
Serenity, Belle, Eric, Lady Affliction, Dr. Dave, Pumpkin Pie, Ms. Tourmaline, S'more, Hacksaw, Wee Mad Beastie, To Be Better For Me, 3AM Thoughts, Forest, BP Bryn, Crash Override, Kinky Bear, Barbie, Navigator Bard, Frost, Sinful and Naughty, Coffee and Chaos, Noir, Haley's Comet, Mr. Pillsbury, Peaches, Mighty Owl, Princess Sassy Pants, Lady and Lex, Chaos Monster, Kristen, Casper, Hazel Page, and Jessica.
I love recording days like today because there's a small amount and I don't really have to do anything because Rara created all of it and I literally just have to sit here and be goofy and just respond to shit that she says. It's the best kind of recording day.
Yeah, so maybe we need to go back to that recording separately stuff.
Wait, we don't have to do that. Remember what was it, a couple episodes ago, I did most of the talking and you were like, oh my God, now I see why you like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's bring more of that back where I don't have to do a whole lot. I just get to be your funny, funny sidekick.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of work for me though. This doesn't seem fair.
Oh, hush. I'm doing one of them in whenever the fuck we're next recording, I'm doing one. So you get a chill break.
Oh, one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the other one. Let's not get feisty here.
Let's not go crazy.
Let's not do too much, all right? You're lucky I'm doing the one.
Yeah. No, I know. Trust me, I know.
My mic fell. Hang on.
Again, you need to start caressing Mike a little more often.
You really do. I need to give Mike some better
love. My mic is very happy and is at attention all of the time.
Because you're shorter than me. Look where your mic is compared to where I have to put mine, and I still have to hunch. The look I'm giving right now is just...
Do I need to keep bullshitting or can I just start talking about the episode? I don't want to mess anything up for you.
I mean, I do enjoy the bullshitting, but if you got to talk, you got to talk.
Oh, speaking of bullshitting, can we share our new word? I think we need like maybe a new word per episode.
No, that's way too many.
I like our new word.
Okay, what's your new word, Rara?
Exhaustipated.
Sounds like Twitter-pated.
Exhaustipated when you're too tired for that shit.
Okay, I'm exhaustipated right now. Does that work?
It might.
I'm going to go to work. I'm exhaustipated.
I found this TikTok creator who does these words and I adore her because she's definitely got to be Gen X. She has such a Gen X attitude about all this shit. And I love her. So exhaustipated. That is the word of the day.
I like it. We'll take it. It was the word of the day yesterday too. So
it's a good enough word to be a couple days.
It'll last the whole month.
Trust me, it's lasting now for the rest of my life because that's pretty much the stage I've reached. I'm exhaustipated. It's why I have no more fucks to give.
Yeah,
because I'm exhaustipated.
That's me at my job. I'm just done. Just done. I'm so tired.
I know. It's okay.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
Are we done with the bullshit? Did you need to continue?
No,
with your...
I can go straight into this.
Okay.
I don't think I have too many pages of notes on this. Let's see how many. This doesn't show on this one. Sorry. I'm on a different. I've got my tablet instead of my computer. It's easy
how
to carry.
How dare you?
I know, but
I'm on both.
Yeah. Well, I have my phone too. So I do have two. You have three.
I need one of the. Can we make this like a podcast expense where I get that thing that's like two screens sticking out on the side of this and then I don't have to bring the tablet too?
Yeah, we can probably check that out.
It's really expensive. It's probably not going to work.
Oh, well, if it's not too expensive.
It's like $500. Yeah, and see that right there? That's
what. Okay, you are shopping in the wrong places. I've seen those advertised for a lot less.
Oh, well, maybe because that was like a year ago. Maybe it's changed.
Right, we'll look into it.
Okay, thank you.
The royal we, in other words, I. We'll look into it.
Absolutely.
The royal we. See, folks, this is why I call myself a princess, because I am the royal we.
Well, what does that make me? The jester?
I didn't say it.
That's actually it.
I didn't say it.
That makes me funnier than you.
I didn't say it. Oh, yeah. People are laughing at you. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's good that I laugh at myself, too. Because I deserve it.
It's important to laugh at yourself. It really is.
Yeah. Continue.
Can I get to this?
Get to the point, please,
thank
princess.
You. Well, this, I'm kind of surprised it took us this long to... No, I'm still speaking in the plural. It took us this long to get to this episode topic because it seems to me we should have done this earlier, but I don't know. It just didn't dawn on me, so I apologize.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. I don't think I said that right, but I don't care. It was really good in my head.
Okay. All right, then. That's all that... You know, you're pretty.
I've had like three cups of coffee.
That's important, too.
Just to get here. And yes, thank you. I am pretty.
The subject matter. I wish you guys could see her right now. She zipped her lips. What we are talking about today is how to create a BDSM scene. I can't do that. I can't look at you. I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you.
I'm not seeing anything.
It's the facial expressions.
I can't help my face.
I know.
I've mentioned this
normally,
before.
Normally, she's got resting bitch face. This is not what she's got on right now.
I don't know what resting the face this is, but I have never been able to control my face. You remember I told you in COVID when we had meetings and I was working with the two stupidest people alive and my other coworker would text me, fix your face, fix your face. I can't do it.
Dar cannot hide her true feelings.
Never could.
But it's all right. It's all going to be good. So, Dar, would you like to tell? I'm trying to get you back involved as you're trying to hide. Serious. It's serious time. We're talking BDSM. This is serious stuff.
I can see you perfectly fine through this shirt.
Whatever.
I look like Beavis and Butthead.
Now, see, this is perfect. This I can take a picture of. This I can totally take a picture of.
Wait,
this.
Let me smoosh my face into it.
Ready?
Can you see the outline of my face?
There we go. This is what it's like recording with Dara. There we go. Okay. See, Dara doesn't like to show her face on social media, but
that was perfect.
That I can show. Basically, a scene is the period of time that BDSM play happens. And I'm using the word play specifically versus, you know, there's some debate with people when you are in your DS dynamic and you are just following your typical DS dynamic protocols. Are those scenes or not?
I think, so if you're doing a 24/7, this is just how I feel. If you're doing a 24/7, everyday protocols, I don't know that you can call that a scene. But when you do like a spanking thing for funsies, that's the scene. It's outside of what you do all the time.
All right. You said the term funsies. What happens if you're doing a punishment spanking?
It's still a scene. It's a punishment scene.
That's I'm just clarifying for those who might not.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying I disagree at all. Yeah, I mean,
that's a first.
No, there's other times I don't disagree with you. I just usually don't point it out.
I won.
Yeah, I'm of the same belief that it's really specifically when you are like going out of your way to do something. But it could still also be texting over the phone. If I text my submissive and I say to them, I want you to go and get naked and go stand in a corner and wait for me, the scene is officially started because I've now given you instructions.
Because the scene is outside of what normal protocols would be. So a normal protocol would be something like, go get me a coffee if that's one of your things, right?
I would so make that a thing for my submissive.
You need a coffee sub. Okay.
Well, I kind of have one. I mean, my son makes the coffee for me every day. No, I need one who actually, so when I'm lying in bed in my very comfy, cozy bed and the coffee pot is downstairs, that my submissive will go downstairs and get the coffee, make it the way I like it, and bring it back up to me.
How much you want to bet I know the person who would offer to come do that? Probably just on Saturdays.
Yeah.
$10.
Okay.
I know who it would be. I can't say it in this episode, but they're in our server.
Okay. We'll figure that out.
Okay.
Because that might be worth it.
As soon as they hear this.
You know who you are?
They're going to volunteer.
All right.
Yeah. I know who it is.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I need that. And I need, if I had a submissive and I ordered them to go get my oil changed, would that be a scene?
I don't think that's a scene. That's a service.
Okay.
That to me is, service is different than scene. So like getting the coffee is a service. Doing a scene is the actual BDSM physical component, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm not even looking at what your notes say because I'm trying to stay away from it at this point.
My notes don't say. Because to me, this is one of those ask 5 kinksters and get 10 opinions.
I mean, I'd be very interested in seeing what the difference is for most people.
Oh, you know, for those who listen on Spotify, you do have the ability to interact with us where I try to ask 2 questions. One is a very general question where your answer can be in sentences. And then we ask a poll question.
We could
be like yes or no.
We could
whatever.
Do a poll. Is there a difference between a scene and service or
we
a
could,
service
or
part
actually,
of scene?
Actually, we could just do the generic question of what does being in a scene mean to you?
Yeah.
And I would love it if you guys would answer that. And at the very least, maybe if I can remember, because this won't come out for a few weeks, to try to maybe do something on Instagram and Facebook.
I see a graphic coming on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and a TikTok. That
Ooh,
would make a good
TikTok.
Okay. So that will be the question. Look for that on all of our social media platforms. How do you define what a scene is? But scenes can be high protocol. Scenes can be low protocol. Scenes could be in person. Scenes could be over the phone. Scenes could be physical things like impact, electro, wax, rope, etc. They can be sexual or non-sexual. It could be a couple. It could be a group of people.
Ooh.
I do like groups.
I do like groups too.
Just saying.
You will hear in the, well, considering that episode came out last week, according to our timey-wimey podcast time.
Yeah.
I talk about how I did a lot of group scenes at my event, and it was super duper fun. I think I set a record for the number of people in a group scene for me. Probably
What was it? Because I haven't listened to that yet. So
it was like 8 or 10.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. All right. So that's how we are defining a scene for the purpose of this episode. If you define it differently, let us know. I mean, we're right, but. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
Well, that was in the chat last night.
Was that the royal we again?
That was the royal
we using
again.
Because don't include me in that shit. I'm not the one that's going to get.
Remember, that's why we have a mug on our Etsy shop that says, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just explaining why I'm right.
That's Ra-Ra's mug. I am so much more humble than Ra-Ra.
No, you just hide it better. But again, I'm exhaustipated. So...
You've been around a lot longer than me, so you have the right to get exhausted.
a lot longer.
I'm not old enough to be exhaustipated yet.
You need to be, once you hit that mile, you should start getting there. That 40 to 50 range is when your fucks start disappearing much faster rate.
I really have started, haven't I? Yeah. Because I actually did do that.
Yeah.
Remember the story I told you this morning? I actually yelled at somebody at work because I lost my patience with that shit.
Once you're 50, you are officially out of fucks.
Okay. I look forward to my out of fuck phase.
It's actually kind of
Wait, what is it? My out of fucks era?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call it, my villain era. Same thing.
Well, you're already doing such a good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I aim to be the best at whatever I choose to do.
You're like the villain version of Ariel.
Oh, my God. Could I do that for Halloween?
Heck,
how could
yes.
I do that for Halloween?
Oh, you know what we should do? We should do a, not just like for Halloween, but like maybe we can convince Cosmo to do a, they just did villains this past Friday at Crucible, but what about like just Disney? Can we do that for a theme? And then you could be villain Ariel?
Cosmo doesn't strike me as the Disney type.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in the suggestions.
Okay, let me know how that works
for risque themes.
Let me know how that works for you.
Yep.
Villain, I could see him agreeing to.
Yeah, but they did that for Quink already.
I know. Disney, I don't know. All right, ready?
Yeah.
So we've decided we're going to do a scene. What is our first step? Our pre-scene preparation.
Negotiation.
That's number two, actually.
Okay, communication.
Yes. Establishing trust and communication is our first step. Yay!
Yay! I did it. It took me two tries, but I knew it was one of them.
So the first thing you want to do before you ever get into a scene with somebody.
By the way, when we do that yay thing, we sound like Muppets.
Oh my God, are we the two old man Muppets? What are those names? Is it Waldorf?
What? Waldorf?
What's his name? Those two, the two old guys who sit in the theater?
Fuck if I know. It's supposed to be Sisko and Ebert, but I don't know their actual names.
Oh, God. All right. We Googling?
But no, we sound like little kid Muppets when we do yay like that. We're never going to get this goddamn episode done. I am way hyped on coffee.
I started to type in. It's the second thing in there.
What did you type?
I was right. It is Waldorf. It's Statler and Waldorf.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't even fucking know they had names.
I love being right.
Go ahead. Take that one. You
Thank
can have
you.
The names of the old guy Muppets.
Thank
go,
you.
Go ahead.
I started to type in two Statler. Old man Muppets. I got as far as too old. And the very second suggestion was Muppets.
See, here's the thing. I only know them as Jacob and so-and-so, Jacob and Robert Marley. Because that's their names of the characters in the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Ah. Yeah, Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, did not know that.
See? The more you know.
Didn't even know they had fucking names at all.
Everybody, every Muppet has a name. Just because you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the first step when you're not being two old man Muppets is to build rapport and trust. And you can do this through active listening, empathy, non-judgmental communication.
What?
I know. So I'm saying I'm looking at you.
I know.
When
I
say this, non-judgmental communication.
Listen. Just because I judge your crazy ass, you and I are never doing a scene together. That's true.
We've done scenes together.
We've done.
Usually I have to bottom because I cannot get Dara to bottom.
That's
for me.
Not true.
Once.
Yes. But I bruise like a peach. Listen, Linda. I have a double bruise on my thigh from hitting the corner of a fucking table.
Okay. Did you walk away from our scene that we did with any bruises?
No.
Thank you. I rest my case.
Yeah.
Okay. The next thing you need to do is create a safe space for open and honest dialogue. You okay?
I really want to say something.
Just do it. I can take it.
She said safe space, so I'm wondering if there's any Gen Zers in here who need a safe space.
Oh, that was her, not me. That was her, not me. This was not the royal we on this one. This was the jester.
I am in such a fucking mood today. I'm going to shut up.
Okay, now that you've just pissed off all four of our Gen Z listeners.
Yeah, all four of our
I've looked at the analytics.
Wait, I'm going to issue an apology directly to Lulu.
Oh, yes. And then Lulu, who speaks for all of Gen Z, will take care
exactly.
of letting everybody else know.
She said that, so I'm saying she can take care of spreading the apology for me.
Okay, so for everybody else, it's important to create a safe space where we can have open and honest dialogue. Because, listen, you're talking about your desires, boundaries, concerns. You need to feel that you can do that without somebody looking at you like you're crazy because you want, things like blood.
Listen, for all normal people, you're crazy.
Okay, do you know what I found out? So apparently Friday night,
what did you
at
find
the Dungeon
out?
Event, a group of people who had been at my blood play party were sitting together and chatting, talking about, I just got this new blood play toy, and here's how I'm going to present it to Rara so she can use it on me, and we need to start making this a regular thing. There are people, I have converted the masses to wanting to play with blood, and I love it.
Do you want to continue the rest of this episode alone or with me? Because continue talking about blood, I'm going to be over there on the floor.
Was that rhetorical or do you want an honest answer?
You better give the correct answer.
I'll go back to my notes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still glaring at you. I just leaned back a second.
I could tell as you drink out of your honking big mug cup, whatever that thing is.
Honking?
Honk, honk.
Wow, I am not the only one in a mood today. Holy shit.
I'm just very empathetic. So your mood is creating my mood.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to be moody alone.
I'm in a great mood. We're just completely fucking slap happy right now.
Say it was a bad mood.
When you said a honking big whatever the fuck this is. It is, I will have you know, a giant flask.
Here's the funny thing. You would think the two of us had been at the dungeon last night. We didn't. I actually went to sleep at what is for me on a Saturday night, an extremely reasonable hour.
Let me guess. Midnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, I was thinking about going sooner, but my goddamn fucking neighbor with the dog who was barking till midnight. When I was trying to remember, it's not the dog's fault, so I can't hate the dog, but I wanted to hate the dog.
No, don't hate the dog.
I know. Hate the owner, not the dog.
I put a fence up yesterday, and I was so physically exhausted by that, and I don't think I drank enough. I the entire time I didn't hardly drink any water, of course, because it's me.
You didn't have your honking flask?
No. Daddy Jay handed me a honking glass. Mm-hmm. But it was like a mason jar of ice water.
Oh, goodness.
And I only drank a few sips before going back out. So I gave myself the mother of all headaches last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So we're just slap happy just because.
Because?
Because.
Fuck.
We've lost now. I'd apologize, but if you guys have been listening all this time, this is not anything new to you.
No,
so.
We're on episode, what, like 169 or something like that?
This is that what it 100... is? It's because it's a 69?
I don't fucking know what episode this is.
Yeah, because we record in the future for the... We record in the past for the future.
What?
We plan in the past, record in the present. I don't know what we're doing. Can I go back to this? Because I've hurt myself now.
Just really quick, I'm going to point out that we record in batches. So good luck with next week's episode too, guys.
Sorry. Not. Did that hurt?
A little bit, yeah. I kind of choked.
I know. All right, we're back to safe spaces. Safe space. We're in a safe space. We want to encourage those in that safe space to be able to express what they want, what they need, what they like, what they don't like, what they expect not to happen. And again, it needs to be a space where there's not going to be judgment.
Why do you keep fucking looking at me like that when you
say
that word?
I don't know. I wonder why. Or reprisal. Look at me using fancy words, huh?
Did you get that off of ChatGPT?
Maybe.
What did I call it?
It's okay. I know what you meant.
Okay.
Maybe. Anyway, in your space, you're also going to discuss past things that have happened, what's gone right and what's gone wrong in the past, if you have any triggers, any trauma that might happen, that might affect what's going to happen, because you need to discuss all of this if you're going to technically have consensual play, because that's what makes it informed and risk aware.
Yeah. So I constantly bring this up. If I ever try rope play again, I always, always bring up like my physical, like I bruise like a peach. Ropes would probably do a number on me if they were tight enough. And the fact that I do have like a trauma with my arms being pinned. So
you say bruise like it's a bad thing.
Look,
for some of us, the bad things, we don't bruise anymore.
I don't have that issue. I'm very sensitive.
But the sad part is that I will bruise more from bumping my shin into a coffee table than I will from being whacked with a heavy paddle.
Okay, first of all, every time you say that word, you go whack.
I can't help it.
It's really funny.
Because that's what I want. I want to whack.
You should inform the coffee table that you do not consent and it does not have permission to hit you like
well,
that.
Well, I solved the problem. I got a soft coffee table. It's an ottoman, so it's not hard and it doesn't hurt me anymore.
You like them soft, not hard? I wouldn't have thought that of you.
Well, I like them soft at the end because then they've done what they needed to do.
The coffee table?
I'm going to sex. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I know. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Now we can talk about negotiations.
Okay, good. I was right there.
You're right there. Right there with me.
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, I am saying this to all the dominants, to all the tops. I'm also saying this to all the submissives and all the bottoms and everybody in between.
What's in between?
Switches.
Okay.
People who are exploring.
Uh-huh.
People who are just identify as kinksters.
Okay. Okay.
You are all involved in co-creating the scene. This is not one of those where, oh, I'm the bottom or I'm the submissive, so I don't have to do anything. And my top dominant will plan it all and I can just sit here and enjoy.
Okay, so just because I do that when it comes to the podcast doesn't mean that that works in a scene, guys.
No, it doesn't. And the reason is, would you like to explain why it doesn't work in a scene?
That is not good communication.
Yeah. Well, the problem is if you're not taking responsibility and helping to co-create the scene, then your partner may end up making plans for things that, oh, I don't know, are not within your limits, are not what you want.
Listen, if you don't tell them what your limits are, and you don't express things, it's going to go poorly for everybody. You're going to have a bad reaction to something. The top is going to have to feel guilt forever about it. It's just not going to be a good time for anybody. No. It's a disaster waiting to happen. So fucking communicate.
Yeah,
your shit.
So Locrian just did a whole thing on this on TikTok about submissives and bottoms need to be involved too. This is not just you get to sit back and let things happen.
I don't
to
understand
you.
Why this is a hard concept for people. Like, listen, I purposely... When I submit, when I go into that mode where I want daddy to make the decisions, I do it for a reason. I do it because I have had a bad day. I desperately need that brain turn off function. And it's great. He's even started to dress me now because I don't want to choose my own clothes at some point. I'm just like, nope, I'm done. I'm tired of making any kind of decision. Anything else will hurt me. Like mentally, emotionally, it will hurt. So I have him do this stuff and it's for a purpose, but it's something that we have discussed, worked out, and added. He never used to choose my whole outfit. He would choose my underwear, but now he's choosing everything down to the jewelry.
And he's also able to do that because he knows you well enough to know that putting you in a little black dress when you're coming over here to record would be stupid.
Well, I literally asked him this morning. I was asking Google what the weather is, right? And it was like 55 degrees. And he goes, huh, maybe you should just not get dressed. And I was like, well, I can't not get dressed because I'm in PJs. And that would feel weird. And he goes, well, what about your sweatpants? Do you have those? Are they in the laundry? I was like, no. So I pulled them out, and I'm wearing sweatpants and a goddamn t-shirt that I pulled out of, I don't know, the very back of my closet.
You know, you could wear pajamas here. I wouldn't care.
I really could.
Because usually the time when you come over, I usually am in pajamas.
Yeah. But the problem is I usually go to the grocery store when I'm done.
That's the problem. Because mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm in pajamas most of the time when you come over. Today's one of those rare days I am not.
I noticed.
I don't know why. I want to dress up for you.
I mean, I put on a little bit of makeup.
Oh, I didn't do that. My hair's done.
Sunscreen and eyeliner.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't going to see the sun today because I'm not leaving the house. So
well,
it's fine.
I damn. Am? Damn? What?
What? Huh?
I do am. It came out damn.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
Right. So part of the negotiation process, you need to establish mutual understanding and agreement on what the parameters are of the scene. So your parameters are your boundaries, your hard and soft limits. One of the biggest questions I like to ask is, what do you want to feel from the scene? And this isn't just the submissive slash bottom, right? This is for everybody. What is your goal? How do you want to feel at the end of the scene? Do you want it to be cathartic? So maybe you want to be crying by the end of the scene. Do you want it to be silly so that you're giggling and laughing throughout? Is it sexual?
So like, how do you handle that for demos though?
Demos, I don't worry about that because I feel if I'm only doing 15, 20 minutes, there's no way you're going to be, it's not going to be cathartic.
No.
It just isn't. It's obviously not going to be sexual. I don't know you. And I also tend not to be, even with people, because I don't know you, I also don't do silly with you guys because I don't know if that's even something you like. I mean, there are people, I don't play with them typically, who don't want a silly scene, who don't want to laugh, who aren't amused if I break into rubber ducky while I'm hitting you with the rubber ducky.
See, and that's weird because most of my scenes when I demo are somewhat silly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people like are scared of it, especially if they're brand new to it. So I work very hard on being silly so that it's not scary.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I don't run into people on impact that are scared. I will run into people occasionally with needles who are scared.
Yes.
In which case...
Needles don't seem to lend being silly, though. I feel like I wouldn't trust you with needles if you were being silly about it.
No. Well, if it is your first time doing needles with me, what you are going to get is the mom, the caretaker.
That makes sense.
Right? I'm going to calm you. I'm going to reassure you. I'm going to make sure that you see I am comfortable and confident in what I'm doing. So you should be comfortable and confident. I might make a little joke here and there just to relax them. But if unless I know you very well and therefore know that what level of humor you like. I mean, some people like puns. Some people like sexual humor. Everybody's different. So until I know what your idea of funny is, I'm not going to really be too silly. But I am going to be very comforting and calm.
Dude, I'm like a straight up stand up comedian when I'm doing this shit, especially when there's a crowd.
Right. Yeah, see, and I don't, when I'm doing impact on, from a demo standpoint, I don't involve the crowd. I've got my full concentration on the person. It's a different environment.
But when you're bottoming.
When I am topping a scene for a friend, like if Naughty and Ice are doing a scene, then yes, it becomes entertainment for the audience and I get them involved. But when I'm doing demo, for a lot of these people, they've never done this before. They don't know what they do and they do not like. So I create kind of this bubble around us where it's just you and me. Don't worry about it because I don't want you thinking I should or shouldn't like this based upon other people. I don't want you thinking I should take more because of what other people might be wanting. I want it to be just you and me. I'm going to make you feel comfortable. I'm going to make you feel confident. We're going to talk. So there's going to be a lot of talking. What did you think of this? Did you like this? Did you want to try this harder? You know, somebody might be like, oh, all right, I'll try it, but I'm not sure. So I'll hit them literally once. And now we discuss. Did you like it? Do you want me to put it away? Whatever.
But I do a lot of group scenes as well with that. And with impact, it doesn't lend itself to group scenes.
It's also
as much.
The physicality of it.
Yes.
The way your table is set up, you can have the bottom lying on the table and you're on one side. And on the other side of the table is their friends, their group, or people who are just curious and interested.
Mm-hmm.
when I'm doing impact, I'm in a corner and the St. Andrew's Cross is in the corner and my bottom is on the St. Andrew's Cross facing the corner and I'm facing their back staring into the corner. Yeah. So, and people need to keep a certain physical distance or you're going to get hit with a backswing. So just from a physicality standpoint, it's not easy to include somebody else.
This is all like super fascinating. It's literally everything from how it's set up to who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Depends entirely.
Right. So, well, that's actually a good thing to go into next. The practical boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
What space do you have to use? How much privacy do you have? Do you want? How much time can you do a scene in? I mean, if you're at the dungeon on dungeon night, you can't expect to do an hour scene.
No.
There's other people there who are going to want to have their time in the equipment. So you've got to figure all that out. If, you know, I've talked to people, they're like, well, I want to do something private. I'm like, okay, well then Crucible is not the place for us to do. Or if they even say, okay, I don't necessarily need privacy, but I don't want a large crowd. Okay, then Risque is not the night to go. Let's go on another night.
Right, something a lot less crazy. So when we used to do more house parties, like pre-COVID, there was a lot more house parties. I think it was it String of Pearls? It was her first time doing electro, and she specifically didn't want anybody else around for the scene except for one person. And I literally cleared the room. I was like, look, hey, can you guys give me like 15 minutes in this space, just the two of us, so that she can have a little privacy for her first time? We don't want her to freak out. And it was fine. Everybody understood that. And then we were like, all right, guys, come on back in. And it was perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Nobody had a problem with it. That is okay at a house party.
Yeah, you can't do that at a dungeon.
You cannot do that at a club. No.
No. So those are all the questions you need to sit down and discuss. Use negotiation tools, like have a checklist. The old-fashioned yes, no, maybe checklist. Find questionnaires to fill out. And I'm hoping it'll be out by the time this episode comes out, but I'm warning y'all now, if it's not out yet, don't hate me.
I thought you were going to say, I'm warning you all now, if it's not out, it's Dara's fault.
No, I'd like to blame it on Dara, but let's face it, we all know I'm going to have to do it, so I can't figure out how to blame it on Dara. Tempting, though, that would be.
Hey, I'm sure you'll come up with something right in the next week or so.
So I am going to try to put together a creating a scene checklist.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So it will be out, hopefully, when this episode comes out. So I'll have to figure out when this episode's coming out and check the calendar and work it out. In addition to having all of this potentially in writing, literally just sitting down face-to-face. And if you can't do it face-to-face, you know, Zoom it, video chat, so that you can see facial expressions. That would obviously be better than just talking about it on the phone. And the reason I say that is because if you have bottom/submissive who's a little hesitant to say no because they don't want to disappoint you, the ability to read their body language when they're answering you, so you can probably and hopefully see the hesitation and then make that decision for them.
Hopefully you get someone like me who can't actually hide their feelings on their face.
Okay. But I will tell you, if you walk out of this with one piece of advice, it's be honest. Do not worry about what the other person will do and think if you say no. Don't worry about what other people expect of you. You need to be completely open and honest with what you do and do not want. If you're worried you're going to disappoint your partner, I will tell you, and I'm going to speak for me and Dara because I'm sure she feels the same way. I would be more disappointed to find out you didn't tell me the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Than you told me you don't want to do something that I enjoy doing.
I would be extremely disappointed and feel guilty as fuck, and I don't want to feel like that.
Okay. And I'm not lying to you, right? I am somebody who identifies as a sadist, who loves blood play. And the number of times I do scenes with people who tell me, I don't want to play hard, I want to play soft. And I'm not disappointed. I appreciate the hell that they're being open and honest with me, and I tell them that. And my goal is not for you to walk away from a scene hurting, unless that's what you want. My goal is for you to walk away from a scene and go, oh my God, that was so much fun. When can we do that again?
So your caregiver and your need to make other people happy tops your sadism.
Yes. Yes. If you want me to be a sadist for you, yay me.
Mm-hmm. It's an extra.
It's just the cherry on top. But I want you to walk away going, that was so much fun. When can we do that again, please?
Absolutely.
That's all. That's honestly all I need from the scene. So we've done all this. What is something else you should be doing during the negotiation process? Establishing safe words and signals. And okay, that might sound silly. All right, we go by the traffic light system, green, yellow, and red. Okay, but not everybody has the same understanding of what yellow and red means. And we've talked about this before. Just in case you're one of those weird people who listen out of order, we're going to talk about it again.
Please don't.
Yeah, too bad. Oh, no. Oh, not to me, to the people listening out of order.
No, no, no. Please don't listen out of order. It makes me nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but as we're getting closer to like that 200 episode, I understand that people may find us later and not want to go all the way back to episode one.
Well, like, so Noir would do the thing where she would listen to the most current episode and then go back and listen in order. And she kind of like met in the middle.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. So what does yellow mean to you? Does yellow mean we sit and we talk about it? Or does yellow mean I need you to slow down? Does yellow mean I need you not to use that particular instrument or not hit me in that particular spot? What about red? I know people who, for them, red means we stop, we talk about it, but we might go back into the scene. And other people, red means scene is done, over, end of story.
And that, to me, red is scene is done.
That's how I operate, but not everybody does.
That's get me the fuck out of this situation now.
Right? I played with people who have added additional colors. I know somebody who added the color blue. Blue, green means go, but rev it up and work your way up. Well, blue is, this is, you've hit the level. It just stay right at this level and let's cruise. It's basically meaning cruise.
And what did Ra-Ra add to her scenes with John?
Super green.
John, give me a color, Ra-Ra, super green.
Or, what do we say now? Bah! Give me a chicken.
That's true. I knew it was chickens, but I forgot about the give me a chicken.
Okay. I am very careful. This is something that I do when I'm bottoming. I am very specific with my yellows because I need them to understand yellow in that spot is telling you leave that spot alone. Yellow with that toy means I need you to put that toy down and switch to a different toy. So I let my tops know that I'm going to give them a little bit more information so they don't even have to ask me. If you have a bottom that's not going to that level, you need to ask them. When they say yellow, you stop, you check in. Okay, yellow, what do you need? Do you need me to not hit in that spot anymore? Do you not need me to not hit with that toy anymore? Do you need me to put that toy away forever and ever and ever for the scene? Or just stop with that toy right now. We can come back to it later. Like, what does all of this mean?
So yeah, just be specific about what it means. If you have not truly established what yellow, for example, means in a scene to you and you agree on it, then just be really specific yep. about it during the scene.
And this is also the time and place for bottoms and submissives to share any physical signs that they display that would help their top understand something. So like I'll tell somebody, once you hit me, I may wiggle my ass and stomp my feet as I process the pain. And just wait, I will literally get back into place and get ready for the next hit. Or watch my toes if I'm on the spanking bench. If my toes are curling, that means I'm processing the pain. That might be a chance to just wait a second before you do the next hit.
And you still wiggle.
I still wiggle. That's how I process. It's like, ooh, yeah. You know what I'm doing? I'm shaking it off. Shake it off. Sorry, I've been listening to, just so you guys know what time frame this was recorded, I've been listening to the Tortured Poets Society. Tortured Poets Department all weekend long.
Poets Society.
Sorry, because I can't help it. I just keep thinking of that movie.
I know, yeah.
So, all right. So now let's move on to scene design and planning. Step number one, let's set the mood.
First, right? You got to create the mood.
Yeah. Creating a self and welcoming environment that's conducive to exploration, vulnerability, if that's what your bottom wants. Use lights. You can dim lights or colored lights. To set the mood. Music. What kind of music do you and your partner like that will get you? I laugh. When you come to my dungeon, you are going to be stuck listening to the music that makes me in the right frame of mind.
Not everybody else.
Nope. This is like, listen, I grew up in the household where he or she who drives gets to choose the music. And that's been my motto for my life.
Yep.
If I'm driving, in other words, hosting, I get to choose the music and the rest of you are stuck.
And then there's me. So when we're at the, I think it was 2 years ago at Winter Fire, somebody played, I don't know if it was Flight of the Bumblebee or some sort of classical song, but it was like a techno version of it. I just went nuts. I was having so much fun.
One of the funniest scenes I ever did was an impact scene to an operatic singer singing Ave Maria.
Yeah. I remember
which
that.
Which I never, if you had asked me beforehand, I would have said was stupid and dumb. It would never work. And it turned out to be hysterically funny.
Yeah.
So you just never know. But set the mood. Maybe some scented candles, if that's something that is important to you and your partner. Yeah, Dara?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Got nothing there?
Nope. Nope. Oh. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Next up, select the appropriate tools and equipment. Obviously, you have a wide variety of BDSM toys and implements. You got your restraints, your paddles, your floggers, sensory items, cuffs, blindfolds, gags. Hopefully, you've had a long discussion beforehand over safety considerations when choosing what equipment you're going to use, making sure you're avoiding any allergic reactions or skin irritation, you know, like asking your bottom, do you have a latex allergy? So I'm going to be careful with what I touch you with.
And also, by the way, shit happens during scenes that they may not know that they were allergic to something that you touched them with. Have shit ready. Have a cream, a Benadryl cream or something with you. Have a aloe or something with you. And by the way, if they're allergic to aloe, that's bad.
Have a first aid kit.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you have to have a first aid kit of some sort, even if whether you buy an official first aid kit or something you've created.
So like for me, electrical burns are a thing. So like if somebody's really, really sensitive to it, so I have burn cream.
Mm-hmm. Look at you being all prepared.
I have burn cream, aloe, and now I've added Benadryl cream.
Perfect. Yeah, the only thing I really worry more about is just accidental cutting. So I'm prepared for that. I'm also prepared for on-purpose cutting too.
I may have had an incident at the event that I went to a couple weeks ago.
I hope you tell the story in the...
I do.
Okay. Yeah. And then, of course, maybe you need to make some modifications if you've got somebody with physical limitations or mobility issues. You know, or somebody, let's say, like Dar, who has a trauma and a trigger of having arms tied up over their heads.
Mm-hmm. At my sides isn't so bad, but if it's up over my head, pinned, especially with one hand, holy fuck, that's a good way to get me, like, completely bonkers.
Exactly. So all of this. And, you know, again, if you're somebody without a large budget, go back and check our Pervertibles episode, where we give you lots of ideas of much less expensive ways to create a lot of fun toys. Right? Next thing up is Next thing up is planning the actual activities and the pacing. So you want to brainstorm scenes or scenarios that align with what everybody's interests are, what their fantasies are, what their boundaries are, what their goals are. Create in your head a clear beginning, middle, and end to the scene, so that you know what's happening. Incorporate a wide variety of sensations and activities to make things interesting. And this could be something that you've discussed, or if your bottom is open to it, surprise. You know, you can do, I view it as you're basically climbing like a mountain. So you're going to start off slow, and you're going to get progressively harder and harder and harder. You get over the mountain, and now you start to come down and low. Or if you really want to be sadistic, you can do hard, soft, hard, soft, hard, soft, you know, like a vibrator. Different.
When you were saying getting harder and harder and harder, I was like, oh, yeah, baby, keep going. Yeah, get harder.
Right? Same damn spot. Is that something that is an absolute hard limit for you? If not, I will tell you, us tops really enjoy it because it's just mean that way and it's fun. Right? I played with a top who had an entire plan from a time. He would literally set a timer on his watch. And there was a certain amount of minutes for the warm-up. Then there was a certain amount of minutes for this activity and a certain amount of minutes for this activity and so on until it was time to cool down and then a certain amount of activity for cool down. Even I, as a Virgo, can't go to that extreme because honestly, a lot will depend how much my energy levels as a top will change from scene to scene. It will depend. I did four really, really long, hard scenes at Winterfire that I never thought that I would be able to have that much energy to do that. But the atmosphere in the room and being the exhibitionist and having all the people watch me kept refilling my tank. Think of me, I was a Tesla. And when my battery would get low, I could recharge.
Do you really want me to behave?
No.
Have you met me?
Yes, several times. So I could recharge my battery that way, and I was able to do it.
Oh, baby, you could recharge your battery, all right.
Jesus fucking Christ. You okay over there?
Yeah.
All right. You know, but you do. You want to build anticipation. Anticipation.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Well, if you can do it, how come I can't?
Because you're the one that keeps trying to get me to stop and be on track and make it a serious podcast.
It's not that. You keep flashing the time at me. I'm like running out of time.
You want me to tell you what time now?
How much time now?
You got 10 minutes.
See? I don't want to make sure I get it all in.
You did that on purpose.
Just a little. She started.
Ow.
Right? But you do want to... If you find that your bottom is starting to maybe get close to might be calling yellow.
I was going to say, are they bottoming out?
Yeah, they're bottoming out. Then, you know, that's when you might want to pull back and have a little less intense, a little more gentle sensation. Let them regroup and then start back up again. You do want to kind of give little periods of rest in between so that they can regroup. I mean, if you want the scene to last longer. If your goal is you only got 20 minutes to do this, you might go harder, faster.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Boy, you're lowballing these now.
I can't help it. I wasn't, when I wrote this, my mind wasn't going in that direction, but you totally.
You just needed me.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I ever did. I just needed you. Can I continue?
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay.
So now we've got the execution and the performance of the whole thing. You want to make sure that you're maintaining
performance.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're having to work too hard at it.
No. Yeah. No, that was a bit of a stretch. Yeah. Go ahead.
You're stretching it.
Oh.
It's getting a little too hard, so you have to stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can flex. Mm-hmm. No.
No.
We're done.
No.
No. Forced puns are not funny, Dara. No. Stop it.
Who are you looking at?
Just. Not at you. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. Not at you. I don't care. There's nobody there. I'm just not looking at you.
Gotcha. All right.
Do your work.
All right, I'm going. So you want to make sure that you're maintaining control and intensity throughout the entire scenes. Use your psychological domination. Do wild and crazy things. Like, you don't have to just use toys. You can use your hands. You can use your knees. You can use your feet. Obviously, will depend on how the bottom is positioned. But there's different things that you can do to really, you know, verbal cues and body language and restraints. Nothing like telling them, stop moving, stop wiggling, grabbing
their
hair.
Does that ever work on you?
No. I'm very much, you have to really use, but what's the reverse psychology with me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, John does that. He does, he pisses you off when he uses like something soft on you as a punishment. Yeah. I always found that hilarious.
He's so mean that way.
I know, and I'm just so thankful that I gave him the idea.
You proud of yourself?
Yeah, I really am.
This is a really important section for you to be very confident and assertive in your dominant / toppy role, because you are in charge at this point. I mean, yes, can they use the safe word and end it? Absolutely. But you're the one who's deciding what toy you're using, how many hits you're going to use with that toy, and so on. So... be prepared and flexible, though, in the sense of if you have to pull back because it's too much for them, or if you were planning on going a little slower, but they really need you to pick up the pace more. If you were planning on a 15-minute scene, but they're still going strong and want longer, or if you're planning on a longer scene, but shit's going on and they just need it to end sooner, right? You need to be flexible with all of that and not blame anybody. Shit happens. Even if you're exhausted, eventually shit will happen.
Oh, you had to throw that in there.
I had to.
It was very important.
It was so important.
Okay.
All right. Make sure that you are monitoring body signals and then responding to it. If you are the top or dominant, I cannot stress enough to be aware of body signals. Your bottom is not always going to verbalize what's going on. It might be that they're in subspace and they can't verbalize.
That happens to me.
It might be that they're too afraid of disappointing you and upsetting you, so they don't want to tell you.
Well, so like that's the part that drives me crazy. You know how sometimes we see on Reddit a lot, I Redded and my dominant is now pissed at me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck off. If you're a dominant that does that, fuck off.
Every time when I've had a bottom have to red on me, and I've only had that happen like 3 times, and it was always because they got lightheaded and dizzy. Yep. Never because of I did something wrong. It just shit happens. And they were always so apologetic. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And my answer was, one, don't be sorry. Shit happens. And two, I am so grateful and appreciative that you communicated to me and let me know.
Well, because you had
upset with you at all.
You had the fainter this year.
I had Naughty and Nice had to do it once because they were getting very lightheaded. I had it happen during a demo where somebody was like, I'm going to faint. Then I had a person who actually did faint. Thank God they were already sitting when they did. But yeah, so,
And your short ass could not be catching people.
Nope. Though I would have taken the fall and let them fall on top of me.
Aw.
Because, that's the kind of, I'm a giver.
It's okay. They would have just bounced off your boobs.
Yep. See? If they're lucky, their head would have hit my boobs and they'd have been fine.
Right back up.
But that's why it is so important. You cannot rely just on their words. And as I said, it could be just that they're in subspace and they can't. Or they're too busy processing the pain and their mind is not working and trying to form words is possible.
I mean, Rara and I can't even form words when we're feeling normal.
No. It may also be a case of I don't know anybody who would ever do this. But it might be just that they're stubborn as fuck and they refuse to give in.
Who are you talking about there?
Nobody I know.
No. Nobody you've ever met in your entire life?
Nope.
Nobody that you know very, very, very well?
Nope.
Not one single person comes to mind?
Nope.
Ah,
nope.
Got it.
Nope.
Yeah, she's going to keep popping that nope.
Nope. When we say you're in charge, this is what we mean. You get to decide that maybe your bottom needs to stop, whether or not they want to. And it's okay. As I talked about, be flexible, adaptable during the scene. Make sure that you are prepared to stop at any given moment in time for any reason without giving your partner grief about it. Discuss strategies for improvisation and problem solving. If, let's say, the equipment malfunctions.
Oh, yeah, we've had that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Change things up. Embrace spontaneity and creativity in exploring new activities or changing up familiar ones just to be a little different. Like when I got a rubber ducky paddle and decided to actually write a rubber ducky song to go along with it.
That was pretty spontaneous, though.
Well, it was.
It took you, three scenes to get through the song?
The first time it happened was totally spontaneous, and then I decided I needed to actually write it out so I wouldn't forget it. But yeah, the first time I did it, it was just going with the flow. Because it all comes down to communication and trust and respect, which you're going to need if you're going to maintain any kind of connection and have the two of you or four of you, however many are in the scene, walking away feeling content and satisfied. Okay? Now we finally come to what happens after the scene is over. Let's start with aftercare, if you need it, which hopefully has been discussed during the negotiations. Now, I'm going to say this again. It's a hill that I'm going to die on. If you are a bottom or sub who needs aftercare, it is your responsibility to make sure that you get it, not your top's responsibility to give it. So if your top says, I don't do aftercare, you have the option of A, not playing with them, or B, having somebody else do your aftercare. Don't start walking around complaining about so-and-so doesn't do aftercare They don't have to. Same way you don't have to accept it, they don't have to give it. We're a lifestyle which is all about consent. And if a top doesn't consent to doing aftercare, they're entitled to do that.
So some people might feel that aftercare is more intimate than the actual scene. And if you're not partners with that person, they have no problem doing the scene. But the aftercare part is where they would draw the line. I'm just giving an example of why somebody may feel that way.
Yeah. Or for me, a lot, that's one of the reasons I don't. But also because I'm hyperactive. I am so fucking flying high that the idea of stopping and cuddling and staying still, I can't. I'm bouncing.
Mm-hmm. Mine is mostly I can disassociate the scene from the person, but doing the aftercare, like physically touching somebody or holding them or whatever, I can't do that part. That is way too fucking intimate for me.
Mm-hmm.
So like with my husband, aftercare, we do it.
Yeah.
That's fine. But me doing a scene with literally anyone else, I can't.
Mm-hmm. I did aftercare with somebody once because they were brand new and I needed it. And I knew they needed it. And they were so fucking high. Remember, I was trying to walk them from where the cross was to a more comfortable cushioned area. And they pretty much just fell to the ground right there and lay down.
Yeah. Didn't even make it to the carpeted area. We had to get blankets.
Yeah. I just put his head in my lap and caressed his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, it was very awkward for me because I didn't know this person well enough to be that intimate with them. But I also recognized the responsibility that I had. So I sucked it up.
Well, the fact that it was also your house and you had somebody collapse on your floor, it was technically your responsibility to fix that.
Yeah.
But we had at, let's see, I did aftercare for somebody that you had a scene with. Was it her first scene with you? Tomcat?
It was her first scene with me. Yes.
Okay. So she clearly was high as fuck after that.
Oh my God, yes.
But you had other scenes that you had to do and I was pretty much done. So I did aftercare for her.
But we also had that planned out
well
before the scene ever started.
Yep. We knew that that was what was going to be happening. The three of us literally had discussed that. Because you said, look, I can't do it because I have this scene, this scene, this scene, this scene. And I think she was what? The second scene of the night?
Something, yeah.
Something like that. So I was like, okay, well, you know, Vixen is here doing electro tonight. I'm just chilling. I can do the aftercare. And Tomcat literally just sat between my legs and I just petted her and wrapped her in a blanket and just held her for like, I don't know, it was like half hour to an hour.
Yeah, it took her a long time.
It was a while. She was high as fuck.
Yeah. So that's why all this needs to be discussed. I mean, you've obviously got other pretty common aftercare practices such as hydration.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate.
Salami in Rara's case.
Salami in my case. Anything that will help the bottom transition out of the scene mindset. All right? Nourishment, hydration, rest. Those are all really important for recovery and well-being, especially after intense play. If there's, you know, if you've done like I do blood play and stuff, there may be physical marks that have to be handled, medical care, to make sure that, you know, things are cleaned up. There's no oozing blood, whatever.
Ew.
I know. I'm sorry.
Did that on purpose.
No, actually, I really don't. But I sometimes actually do forget that I can't even like say the word setting.
That word to me is like moist for a bunch of people. I don't understand the moist part, but yeah.
I don't understand it either because I never think of a vagina as moist. I think of it as a cake as moist. So that's yummy.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't associate moist with my pussy.
No, yours is just drenched.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, fuck me. Okay, I got to say this.
Go ahead.
You're like a tres leches cake.
I'm sure that would be funny if I got that.
Yeah, it's really soaked.
Okay. Oh, like tiramisu. You have to soak the lady fingers and stuff.
Yeah, I bet you do soak your lady fingers.
Yeah, I do. Wow. We're in a roll today.
Oh, God, I'm done. I'll see myself out.
Okay.
Bye.
There's also the importance of post-scene debriefing, which can happen right after the scene, a little bit after the scene, the next day after the scene, whatever amount of time everybody needs to come down from the high of the scene and have time to process what happened. even if this was the perfect, bestest, most amazing, wonderful scene in the entire world, you still need a post-scene debriefing so that you can share that information with each other and tell each other, oh my God, that was the best scene ever. Because we need, the tops, we need to know what worked and what didn't. And if everything worked, yay us. But we need to know that. And if something didn't work, we do need to know that too. And
especially that.
Right? And having, and saying, oh, I really loved it when you did this. This was okay. This I would really, I'm okay if we never do that again. And guess what, folks? That goes both directions. The top can also say the same thing.
Goes both ways?
Yes.
Okay, I'm done.
Oh my God. Because now you're working at it. It's
no,
funny
I didn't.
You have to work at it.
That one I did not. I swear to God, it just pops into my head and I have to say it. I can't stop.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. For real this time.
Yeah, for real. I need to know, I need the bottom to tell me what they thought. But I also need to let my bottoms know. Okay, so I really liked it when we were on the St. Andrew's Cross because I was able to do this. Or, you know, Spanking Bench didn't allow me to get the angles that I needed. So next time, can we do it on a St. Andrew's Cross or standing up, whatever. You need to have this open and honest communication about what happened in the scene, including discussing the highlights, your challenges, and areas for improvement. Don't be afraid to tell your top about areas of improvement. You want to make sure how you handle it, and you're not saying, well, you really sucked when you did this.
God, no.
Right? But there are ways to offer constructive criticism, especially if you guys are new playing together and they don't know you as well as you're hoping they will down the road. Or maybe you're an experienced bottom and they're a newer top and you're sharing information with them so that they can improve. It's important to have all of this. Reflect on what happened and explore how you felt. How did the scene make you feel? How did the things that your partner said or did to you make you feel? Maybe you want to journal this information so that you don't forget it and you can share it all. But that debriefing is very, very important. Also, you want to make sure that, and this again should have been discussed during negotiations, but how often are you checking in with each other afterward? Are you checking in with each other? Scene's over, you now walk your separate ways and never speak again. Are you texting them the next day to make sure how they're doing? I had a friend who, as part of her negotiations, she needs you to check in with her for 3 days after a scene. At once a day for 3 days after a scene. So if you did the scene Saturday night, you check in Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And one text.
Seems like a lot.
One text to just say, hey, listen, the first time, the infamous scene where the butt plug popped out of my ass.
Yeah.
And I had bruises for 3 weeks. That particular top checked on me every day for a week. I didn't ask them to. They just did. Every day for a week. How the bruise is doing. They even asked for pictures occasionally to make sure that things were healing the way they were supposed to be healing.
I mean, good for them. I can't.
Finally, last couple things here. Special considerations addressing any unexpected challenges or emergencies during the scene. Remember, those are an opportunity for you to learn. Shit happens. Nobody's fault. Just shit happens. Equipment can break. Toys can break. Scenes can get interrupted by other people, you know, if you're playing in public, or trigger, or, you know, if you've got young children, nothing blocks kink better than young children. Maybe that happened. And what did you learn from that experience? And going forward, how would you handle it differently? Did you guys deal with the emergency or the challenge in a good way that worked for everybody? Or did you learn something from that? So next time, God forbid, if it happens again, you're prepared. All of these need to be discussed. And then finally, there's always resources and further learning. Next time, if you're one of those people fortunate enough to be able to go to dungeons, watch other scenes, see what people are doing. You can't take out a pen and paper and make notes right then and there, but make a mental list of what you liked that maybe you would like to incorporate into your scene. Talk to your friends. You know, next time you guys are out with a group of your friends, ask them, what were some of your favorite scenes? What did you love about them? What were some of the scenes that were your least favorite? What didn't you like about them? And kind of create your own mental database of ideas, of things that you want to add take classes. Take one of our classes. Take one of Kink Academy's classes. Take one of Wicked Grounds classes. Take one of Devin Stone's classes. There are online classes, guys. Not everything has to be done in person. If you can go to an in-person class, yay you, so much the better. But if you can't, go on. Encourage participants to find mentors or friends who have the same likes and interests that you have so that you can brainstorm with each other. And just remember, this is all an ongoing growth and exploration. You could be in this lifestyle for 10, 15, 20 years, and there are still things you can learn, and there's still ways you can grow. So that is my version of how to create a BDSM scene.
Yay!
Yay. Anything you want to add to that?
Hell no. I said I was shutting up so that we could actually like get to the end of this with you without you trying to run yourself into a wall.
Maybe I want to run into a wall. Did you ever think about that? I am a masochist and a sadist. So if I make myself run into a wall, I'm happy.
Okay, I'll let the wall slap you this time.
Ooh, okay, please. Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a minute of our fun and educational content. New episodes drop every Friday.
If you love what we do and want to show support, there are several ways. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast. You can support our affiliates or help spread the word about our kinky podcast to your friends.
Don't forget to rate and review Pink Kink on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those 5-star reviews go a long way in boosting our podcast through the algorithm and reaching more listeners.
Sign up for our Pink Kink Institute classes. Shop at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique. Stay connected with us on social media. You'll find all the links on our link tree posted in the show notes.
Your support means the world to us. So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.